The gospel reading for today is from Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 8, verse 3. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood before him, behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you."
"Tell me, teacher," he said.
"Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?"
Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled."
"You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to approach the text a little bit differently than I normally do today, and that's we're going to read through this text again. I'm going to read through this text again with you, but break it up into just some small pieces and then a few comments on those before I share with you my other thoughts on this overall text. But if you look at it as it starts in verse 36 in the gospel reading, it said, "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume." Now, first of all, I would note it's interesting here that Luke notes that this is a woman who has lived a sinful life. I mean, as if everybody else had not. This woman's a sinner. Luke, have you looked at the rest of the room, including yourself, I'm thinking at this point, but apparently she led a really open sinful life, and so that's why it was pointed out in this fashion. It says, "And she stood behind him at his feet and began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner.'" So Luke's issue is apparently the same issue as the Pharisee. The Pharisees were the people that were, they were high in the law and following the law, and they believed in the high order of things, that you had to do everything just so. Of course, they didn't get it right either, but this Pharisee obviously sees this woman as a sinner the same way, and apparently doesn't see himself in the same light, which ironically, Jesus would say that the Pharisee is certainly as much a sinner as this woman, as most of the Jews didn't like the Pharisees either. Jesus answered him, "Simon, talking to the Pharisee, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. He owed him 5,000, one owed him 5,000 denarii and another, 500 denarii and another 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. See if the Pharisee's picking up on this. Now, which of them will he love more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And here Jesus is explaining that all debts, no matter the amount of the debt, is forgiven and needs to be cleansed, that sin needs to be purged from us. And yet this woman is recognizing her sin and able to show a greater love than Simon or others who also needed to have their debts forgiven, because she is actually acting in this contrite fashion before Jesus. She has a greater love than any of the others did. Then he turned toward the woman and said, Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. Here's where the host gets real uncomfortable. I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but she has been forgiven, but he who has been forgiven loves little. The major problem going on here is that some people just don't recognize the depth of their sins. They don't understand their need for forgiveness even. There are people that go about, Christian folks, and I have known many over the years, that truly believe that they are not as sinful as other people. They believe in the love of God, and they believe that that love is great, but their understanding of the depth of sin is so poor that they see everybody else as sinners, but not themselves, in that same kind of light. Not believing their sin is as bad as someone else, basically, that makes them a Pharisee. That's what we deal with. We deal with modern-day Pharisees. Your sin is worse than my sin. Boom, you're a Pharisee. That's it, if that's your perspective. If your desire to see someone else accused or punished or called out for their sin is greater than your desire for reconciliation and forgiveness for that person, then you're not living the Christian life. Just a fact. If we want to see someone else get what they've got coming more than we want to see them forgiven and restored to Christ, we're not living the Christian life. Jesus said to the woman, he said, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So it's not the action of the washing of the feet. It's not the tears. It's the faith that has saved her and the faith that has given her that forgiveness of sins. And yes, in answer to the questions of everybody in attendance, who is this that can forgive sins? It's God. Only God, and has to be God, because only God can forgive sins. I even say it in church when we have the statements, in the stead and by the command of Christ, I forgive you, but it's His command, that forgiveness of sins. It's Christ who does the forgiving. I just get to speak the words on His behalf for the folks to hear. After this, Jesus traveled about from town and village, from one to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with Him, and also some of the women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene. Note that Mary Magdalene, nowhere, anywhere, ever in Scripture does it say what people want to lay on her, the idea that she was a prostitute or a woman of ill repute. It never, ever, ever says that in Scripture. That is completely entered in from extra biblical texts or ideas that came about early on in the Catholic Church, actually, in some places, but it's not part of Scripture. Mary Magdalene was one who had seven demons come out of her. That's what we know of her. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support him out of their own means. So now Jesus is going to take his show on the road, and it's necessary that people listen and believe, because if they don't listen and believe where he is, he's going to go someplace else, just like he teaches his disciples later on. He goes about, he does the mighty acts, he does the miracles, he casts out demons. And another thing that's interesting to note here is, who are the ones that start financially supporting him first? The women. They're the ones that want to see this ministry advanced and see the value of this ministry. How great is your love for God? How great is the debt for which you've been forgiven? Depending on the debt, it should be reflected in how we love God. And sometimes that's hard to accept, because we know that Jesus forgives all sin and all sins are forgiven, but then we question the idea of thinking at times in that Pharisee-type attitude, but really, Lord, their sins? What they've done? They're worse than mine, and they're forgiven just as easily as mine, and saying, I'm sorry for my sins, Lord, and I believe that Jesus can forgive me. And he does. But that bias exists in so many folks, and myself in the past at times have felt that twinge too. Really? Not that I'm thinking God should not forgive them, but I'm thinking, I want to fall back on that idea of cheap grace. It seems like it's a little too easy sometimes. But if it weren't, I wouldn't be forgiven either. That's what I have to keep remembering. The sinful woman knows exactly what she needs. Simon the Pharisee does not. Luke apparently doesn't even get a glimpse on what's going on. The question of the forgiveness of sins and who can do it and where it goes to those who are in need, and it comes from the only one that is able to forgive sins. The only one who will listen, who can listen, and who can offer the forgiveness of sins is where this woman goes, directly to Jesus, to his feet. And this was amazingly brave of this woman. It was so brave because most people, recognizing their sinfulness, especially when it's a great sinfulness, instead of running to Jesus, they kind of run away from him. They hide from him. Happens in the church too, when people get upset and lose track of what the forgiveness of sins is about, and instead either are accusing others of sins or accusing themselves of sins, instead of sticking around and working through this forgiveness of sins with Christ and with the fellowship in the body of Christ, they flee, they run. That's human nature. It's easier to run away and not face those things, those difficult times. And then there's the Pharisee. Are we more like the woman that comes in and drops down, and who is so incredibly outwardly sinful? Or are we more like the Pharisee that sure, I have sins too, but they're nothing like somebody else's? And really, it doesn't matter which we are more like. It doesn't matter at all. Fact is, we need the forgiveness of sins. If such people were to come in here this morning, would they be welcome in our church? Someone who has a long list of outwardly recognized and visible sins in the community. Or somebody that holds himself above everybody else. And hopefully we would. We'd welcome both, because they both need the same thing that we need. A forgiving Christ. To be pointed to the one who can forgive, not to point at those who need forgiveness. To look to my sins and the one whose feet I need to fall down at. There are really two major issues that are going on throughout this text. One is, how much are you loved by Christ? How much are you loved? concerning the amount of forgiveness that you need in your life and have received already, how much has Christ shown his love for you? And the other question is, how much now then do you love? What do you do in the response for that forgiveness because of that faith that you have? Considering the amount of forgiveness you've received, how do you respond in service to God? How big is your debt? How big is our God? How great is his forgiveness? And now, again, we get into the how great then is our love having received that forgiveness. True love will create this acceptance. It will create the family again. It will restore the relationships, not only between Christ and us, but between us and others, if we show this true love and true forgiveness in our life. So just one more thought, or one more repetitiveness of my previous thought in saying, how big is your debt? How much have you sinned? What's your sin been like in your life? How big is your debt? We know how big our God is. And if you do continue to know how big our God is, then you can also know for sure that no matter how big that debt is, it's already been forgiven in Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, continue to keep you in the true faith until life everlasting, through Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Lord, and the only God. Amen.